Well, we're going to begin right at verse 1. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So the Lord giving a parable, but this would be the summation of the parable. And the summation of the parable would be that men would be in this realm and in this place where this is something they would want to do. They'd always want to pray rather than to faint. So it exalts prayer and doesn't encourage us running around faint-hearted because we don't pray. So if we want to stand, there's a need of prayer then, isn't there? So men ought to always pray. In the circumstances, in the situations of life, we should always pray. There's great power in prayer, and there are surely answers from God. And so we want to be in that place where we take heart in the teaching of the Lord, because, well, He would make us to know that this would be a good thing for us, that we would always pray. Do you always pray? Somebody said, when it gets so bad, I don't know what to do, then I'll pray. Right? When it gets so bad, I don't know what to do. When it's out of control to the point that I don't think there's any hope at all, then I'll pray. Why not start praying early? Seek God in that right early. Get an answer. Move the hand of God. Well, this parable, it's a parable about an unjust judge. Saying there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now, if we think of a judge, and this is his criteria, this is his, you know, his way, his attitude, he didn't fear God, nor did he regard man. Well, I don't know about a judge that didn't fear God. That might be the one that we would certainly not want to go before with a case, right? There's a judge and he doesn't fear God, nor does he regard man. So we would want to think about that judge, and it would tend to sum up to say, he's hard. He's hard. And he's not going to do a lot for you. And he's going to be hard-nosed in what he does. And that's the judge that's pictured here. So being that place where he's just not flexible at all, just doesn't seem to be. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. I was a poor widow woman. Now, she's in a bad fix, and then she's got an adversary. Someone's trying to do her in. Maybe someone is trying to take away from her what she has or something else. But anyway, she went to the judge, and she sought the judge to help her. The judge could certainly help her if he would. If he would hear her. If he would pay her mind. But then, he didn't regard man. So here's this woman, and she's in a state then where she's gone to him, and he's going to just be a toughie. So it says in verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. So somehow this widow must have got to him then. Somehow, some way, he must have really softened just a little bit. And then we have to realize what he said. Yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So, we could listen to that. So, he's being troubled a lot in his mind because he's seen her come back. And come back and come back. And she didn't give up. And she persisted. So she went back to the judge. She went back to ask again and again and again. How many times, we don't know. But it was having an effect on this hard judge, that though he wouldn't normally fear God, nor would he regard man, yet this woman, because she was determined, and she came and she wearied him day by day. Day by day, she just wearied him. And so he got wearied of seeing her. Well, she still hasn't won her case yet, but I think she's going to find some help here somewhere. So she didn't do much, except she just kept coming. He didn't act, but she came back. I think tonight that we have to take this in light of what the Lord said in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So have we heard what he said? He wouldn't help her, that he didn't fear God, he didn't regard man, and in his way he was hard, made himself to be known as a hard judge. Well, there's a case then. God said, listen to what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So now we're just going to take the judge's weariness and trouble about the woman coming back and coming back to him until he wasn't bothered about nothing else except that every time he saw her face, it troubled him because she just kept coming back. Now God is saying something. So the Lord said, hear what that unjust judge said. So we're supposed to be listening to what he said. This woman, you know, though this woman come, you know, in this way to him, because the widow woman troubleth me, and I will avenge her lest by her continual coming she wearieth me. Now, that's what God wants you to listen to. Why? Well, the why is very clear. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now, we see that shifts into a spiritual arena. And we see now we're dealing with our relationship with God. And we're bringing ourselves into focus with the first verse, which said that men ought to always pray and not faint. So we want quick fixes. We want answers speedily. The woman wanted an answer, but she was long-suffering to get it. She just would wait. So now, as we look at that judge, he's not paying her any mind in this, but he's going to avenge her just to get rid of her. Now, God is better than this judge. If you had to deal with someone, would you want to deal with the judge here, or would you want to deal with the Lord? Would you want to have, you know, your situation, that God was taking care of it rather than an unjust judge taking care of it? Well, then God would want us to know and know this truth. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now, I think it's a picture then that we have to take a hold of that. Many a time we're going to wrestle. Many a time we're going to struggle. Many times we're going to find it hard or difficult, and it will seem like our answer is delayed, and like we pray a lot and we pray long, and yet there doesn't seem to be an answer coming through. So in our hearts, we have to stop and think, well, yes, we do pray long about some things. Yes, we have called many times about some things. Yes, we have been troubled about physical infirmities. Yes, we have been troubled about lack here or there. We've been troubled by needs that we have. Many things that we may have. We may have had an enemy on our back, and we've cried unto God and cried unto God to get him off our back. And we can look at the picture of what he's saying, and though it's addressed to many, then it would fit many of the problems of life. But God said he would avenge His own elect. And as a child of God, as one of His elect children, then God would avenge us. Somebody might do us in. Someone might make it hard for us. We might bear long and we might pray long about it. But in the end, God will avenge our enemy. God will take it out on our enemy. God will fight our battle and God will get him off our back. God will do that for us. So it's like that then. Let's not get disappointed when we pray. Let's not get disappointed at all. Let's be in that place where we will take it to heart that we may have to bear long, that we may have to pray, and we may go back to God again and again. But yet, we should hope. Hold still and remember the story that he said, hear what the unjust judge saith. That woman was avenged of her adversary by her persistence, by her willingness to pray and not faint. She didn't faint in the process. She just kept praying. She just kept going back and asking again and again. So in her life, we see that her persistence was there. She just wearied that judge with her presence. She wearied him. Now, would you think that God is in some way saying to us, maybe we don't go back often enough? Maybe we don't persist in prayer long enough? Maybe we're giving up short of getting the victory? Many a time, we no doubt will quit praying about something before the victory really comes. Though we sought for a while, getting discouraged, and say, well, what's the use? I prayed and I prayed. Well, this would say, I ought to always pray then and not faint. I ought to always pray and not faint. Don't faint if it seems hard. Don't faint if it's difficult. Just go back to pray again. So when you get up in the morning and you decide it's time for you to go pray, and you go back and pray about it again. You go back there the next morning and you pray, go back there and pray about it. That's what God is encouraging us. He would bear long with us. Yes, God is long-suffering toward us. And God would help us. Now, I know that in our life there are many things that we want and we want greatly and desire greatly of the Lord to do. And it's not always that we have an adversary. We all have an adversary, the devil. And he's ever there to try to do us in too. But I want us tonight to learn that God is saying then there's a pattern here to follow and we should follow it. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. When God rises up to act and to move, he will move quickly. He'll move speedily. And remember, it's not going to drag on forever with God. We all have had many a burden, many a problem, many a thing that's troubled us. But we've always had God there. There was always that opening for us to go. There was always that opportunity to go and pray. But I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. So I'm glad that God will act on our behalf. It won't drag on forever, though it might have seemed to. Someone said, it's been an eternity since I started praying about this. I give up. I didn't think God would ever answer. How many times do you have to ask? I've asked him many times. Well, we could get discouraged at that. But we're taught here, God certainly will avenge his children, and that speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's a big question that's asked at the end of this. It's a big question. What is the big question? When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith upon the earth? Which is a question that merely says, when Jesus comes back again, what will it be like on the earth? Will men be in that situation where they don't have faith anymore? Will it be in that situation where men won't cry to God, won't pray and seek anymore? What will it be like in the day when the Lord appears and surely comes for his own? What will it be like in that day? What will he find? Will he find faith on the earth? Men ought to always pray and not faint. When he comes, will he find faith upon the earth? What will it be like in that day? Will it be the apostasy that we always talk about? Will it be like the lukewarm church at Laodicea? Will it be like the dead church at Sardis? Would it be like the church at Ephesus that had lost its love and first love and just gone away? What will it be like when he comes? Will he find us? Will he find us as he would speak about the church at Philadelphia? A church that seemed small, yet a church that really kept the word of his patience. A church that really followed on in truth. A church for which he had no rebuke. He really laid no rebuke out at all to, but merely said to the people of that church that they then would be counted, if they just pray, they'd be counted worthy to escape all of these great troubles that are coming upon the earth. So I think from his words we know that about the time of his coming there's going to be some great troubles on the earth. There's going to be some great difficulties on the earth. There's going to be some trying times. And Jesus coming is surely going to find them. He's going to see the world in a turmoil. Will there be any faith? Will everybody give up? Will everybody fall away? Will everybody turn aside? Will everybody draw back? Hey, that's a question. So he said, well, I don't have any intention of drawing back. Yet we see in our generation, many draw back. Many lose sight of having faith. Many give up on prayer. Many give up on the things that they should follow. So the whole story is centered around this for you, that you would always pray and not faint. And how is he going to find you when he comes? Not just is he going to find faith on the earth. Is he going to find faith in you when he comes? Are you going to still be believing him? Are you still going to be trusting him? Are you still going to be leaning on Jesus? Is he going to be your all in all? Is he going to be your Lord and helper in that day? Is he going to really have his hand on you because you stand with him? Because you put yourself in that place with him where you stand with him and you walk with him. You know, and you give your life to him and you follow him. Will he find you faithful in that day? That's the question. Will he find us faithful, or how will he find us? Will he find us having faith? Will we give up on praying after a while? Is the world going to get worse and worse? Is it getting any better? Have you heard any great reports of how better the world is today? We can take a look and examine it for ourselves and say, boy, what troubles there are in this world. What troubles there really are in this world. Mighty, mighty troublesome things. And we know it's going to get worse and worse. And we know, as Luke was writing to us to tell us in chapter 21, men's hearts would absolutely fail them of fear, looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. Church, we should have our eyes open, shouldn't we? Don't lose your way with God. Isn't that the answer? Don't give up on God for nothing. Don't turn aside from the careful walk with God, no matter what goes on in this world. Hey, if it shakes all around us, if it seems like there's no way at all for us, we just know what Jesus said. We ought to always pray and not faint. He surely will see us through. So we got to stand on our spiritual feet, you know, and stand up to walk with God. And we've got to be encouraged. We can be browbeaten. The devil would beat us down if we'd listen to him, if we'd yield over. If we'd submit to feelings, we could just lay aside our Christian faith. And what would we trade it? What would we trade it for? What would we have? Are we going to take our shields of gold that hang on the walls of the temple? And are we going to allow them to evaporate away from our hands and replace them with just shields of brass? What's the brass worth? The temple, the house of God, all of the gold and golden shields that were made that hung on the wall. And yet, there was the king doing stupidly and allowed it to happen that those now were taken away and the best he could do was replace them with brass. Hey, we've got shields of gold, church. We've got shields of gold with God. We don't have shields of brass. We have shields of gold. Hey, we stand with Him. And let's know tonight, we shouldn't slacken in our hands. We shouldn't let up. We shouldn't turn aside. We should hold fast. We should know that one day Jesus is coming. And He made us to know that it's going to be a hard time and that many would not be holding faith and many would not be. And He brought that question to our mind that we would question it out. When He comes, will He find faith on the earth? Well, I want Him to find faith. I want Him to find faith in my heart. I want to stand with Him on to the conclusion of the whole matter. I want to stand with Him until it's my time to just go and be with Him. Or it's my time to be caught up with Him. So it doesn't matter what happens along the way. I want to be faithful, don't you? I want to be true and faithful. I want to do what God wants me to do. So tonight, I'm going to take to heart His word that I ought to always pray and not faint. So that would be a great wise word to all who would listen to Him. You ought to always pray. We shouldn't give up on prayer. We shouldn't get discouraged. Nor should we give up making our requests for the things that we desire of the Lord. We shouldn't let go of that. The thing we hope for and believe for, we should embrace it. Sooner or later, you're going to hear from God. Sooner or later, we would want it sooner, but if it comes later, it comes, doesn't it? So tonight, I want us to think in our hearts how important it is to face the day. Let us face the day as the day really is. Let's just let it be in our hearts that we'll look at the day like the day is. And when the Lord comes and He finds no faith on the earth, and if we're still here to that day, there's no faith, there's nobody believing, hey, we still want to believe, don't we? So we don't have to give in. We don't have to give over. We don't have to give up. We don't have to turn aside. Our God is faithful. And let's remember the woman. She just kept going back and going back and going back till she wearied the judge. Now, I don't know as we would want to get the thought in our mind we're going to weary God. But then, what is He really saying? She went back and again and again and again until she got the answer. And I believe God would say to us, go back again. Come back and pray again. Come back. Hold fast. Come back and pray some more. Keep praying. If you hold on and you keep praying, He's going to bring the answer. He's going to bring it through to you. He's going to work it out for you. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to do what you need Him to do. He's going to be God to you. He's going to be a gracious God to you. So tonight I think that we should see then that we can't afford, knowing that right in the very same parable, there's a real truth springs out here. It's a real truth springing out here. And I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? So tonight I'm encouraging that all of us should take a hold of that. That we should be in this place where we know tonight, in the depths of our heart, you know there's going to be a lot of troublesome times in the world, just like there is. It's kind of a troublesome time, even right now, isn't it? A lot of people are worried to death. What's going to happen? Are we going to go into World War III? Are we going to get in a war with Russia? Is this going to happen or is that going to happen? Well, people are worrying because there's bombing going on. They're worrying because people are being slaughtered. And they're worrying about a lot of things. But doesn't matter what goes on. It doesn't matter what comes or goes. We've got to stand. And I would like to sometimes think that in the Lord, we're bigger than a lot of the problems that we worry about. And our faith is an anchor that will hold us. You know, when you get out there in the deep and the ship and you let down an anchor, and you're going to be out there, you know, you want that anchor to hold. You want that anchor to catch on something down there. Can't just drag in the mud, you know. The ship will just keep drifting and drifting farther out, you know. But to be in that place where we know, you know, you drop the old anchor down there and, hey, it's going to hold. It's made to hold. It's made to dig in. It's made to catch on the rocks. It's made, you know, with that thought in mind, to hold that ship. And besides, it's heavy besides. Now, our anchor. What is our anchor? I want you to know that our faith in the Lord Jesus, our faith in the saving, redeeming work of Christ, our faith in what He has done for us, our faith in His love and grace, our faith to us is an anchor, and it won't fail. It won't fail. God will not forsake us. He said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. But listen, sometimes we may pray a while. Isn't that all right? You were going to pray anyways, weren't you? So that was one of your requests. Listen, we all got some troubles along through life. We've all had great occasion to pray. We've all had great occasions to pray. We had need to pray. Sometimes we prayed, and the main reason we prayed is because we were driven by something. In our mind and our heart, we were troubled about something. We just needed a help. We needed an answer. And it caused us to. But even when there's not a problem, even when nothing is bothering, when there's no enemy to avenge, when no one is doing you in, when you're not lacking, you still should pray. You still should hold firm. You should still lend. Let your soul be anchored in Jesus and know that in these troubled times, when the Son of Man cometh, that question looms, will He find faith on the earth? He's coming. He will avenge His elect speedily. The parable probably looks beyond what we would think of the first resurrection and the rapture. And maybe it looms on looking toward, you know, the tribulation period that follows. And looking at that and seeing when He comes back to earth again, what will He find when He comes back to earth again? What a mess the world's going to be. We can't imagine the mess the world will be in when He comes back. And we think of all the judgments of the book of Revelation. And we think of all of the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of God. We think of all the things that have happened. Planet Earth is going to be a major mess. Boy, there's going to have to be a new creation on this world here of some kind. That this world could be restored out of the mess that man will leave it in. But I know this. No matter what Jesus promised is what Jesus will do. He's going to establish a kingdom on planet Earth, and that kingdom is going to survive and become strong and become greater than any kingdom there ever was, and the greatest kingdom the world will ever know. And that kingdom, surely the kingdom of God, and the kingdom wherein Jesus will sit on a throne and rule and reign over this planet. Oh, what a day that'll be. But is it worth waiting for? Well, will we have anything to do with it? Would we see any of that? Well, I would say this. Though some things may even happen after we depart and go to heaven, we know this. They that suffer with Him shall also reign with Him. They that suffer with Him. They that will put their life on the line for Jesus. Hey, they that will really go out as good soldiers of the cross. Hey, they that will work and labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And they that will bear up to the heat and put their hearts into work. Surely there are those that surely will suffer. But listen, they'll also reign with Him. So there's reward for all we do and all we go through. There's rewards given to us for the things which we, you know, do or accomplish in the body. And surely there's rewards from God to those who've been willing to lay down their life some as living sacrifices, and some that have just plain been, you know, martyred or killed because of their faith. But I want us to think tonight there's a lesson, and we don't want to miss it. Men ought to always pray and not to faint. We know that Jesus is telling us that it's not going to be very good when He comes back. This falling away will get worse and worse and worse. Hard times. It'll be worse than the Great Depression when you think of people losing their faith and falling away. Oh my, when people just get up and say, well, what should we go on or not? Look, I'm going to keep praying. That's where my mind is. You focused in there tonight? You going to keep praying? Are you going to keep praying? Are you going to start fainting? Did you ever feel like you fainted? Did you ever faint? Did you ever have a fainting spell and truly faint? Crazy things happen to you when you faint. Something just happens inside. Oh, there's something can get you right down in here. Oh, it's like every nerve in your body is affected. And you can find yourself passing out and don't even know what's going on. Or you can also be in a situation where something's going on and you can't explain why. And sometimes we faint because it's been hard. We got hurt. We've had tragedy or something's happened. So we should understand there's the word faint. It's more than just a feeling. I mean, people can really faint. And I just remember that one day we were down there in the old building in Mass Avenue and we were moving a big paper cutter. And we had to take it off the thing that was bolted on to hold it because it's all made out of, you know, pretty heavy iron. But we forgot to do one thing. We were moving it with the blade on. You know, a paper cutter wrenches right down through a ream of paper and just strips it right off. So we were trying to get it in the elevator. We were going to take it up to the... We were having our little print shop up on the top floor. Well, we started. Everything seemed fine until somebody kind of lost their end. And the end of that blade stuck out a little bit. And it caught me right in my leg. Oh, it went right in deep. Well, I could feel blood almost running way down my shoe. Well, I had to just stop. And I headed upstairs. And I went in the bathroom, and boy, I was a bloody mess. But all at once, boy, I just fainted. Somebody said, well, you just kind of passed out. I went blind. I couldn't see. My eyes just wouldn't see. Oh, my, what a feeling. And oh, what a feeling right in here, you know. It just tightened all the nerves right up. Well, men ought to pray and not faint, you know. No matter what the circumstances, it's worthwhile to pray. So we thank God. I surely got my sight back in a few minutes, and I could hear and I couldn't see. It was like it was dark. All just because I hurt me? I didn't cut my eye. I cut my leg. But it was my eyes, they were affected as well as all these nerves in your body. Well, it's fainting. That's what it is. You know what the word faint is. You might faint sometime. Men will be in the place where men will then, as the Scripture said, men's hearts failing them of fear, looking after the things which are coming upon the earth. We don't know what things are like. When I was a young fella, I was young once. So I said, you still are, Brother Daly. Take courage. Yes, I don't feel old. I just feel my age. That's all right, isn't it? But I was young. But I remember a scene that might have been typical of one we just are seeing or saw. There's all of these nations called, what are they called? NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. That's like one side. You know, the Allies, they were called in World War II. Same, many of the same nations, all on one side. There was what they called the Axis. They were nations gathered on the other side. Hey, there was World War II. Hey, a terrible time. But here you see just a little thing may pass like nothing. That's war. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you're doing it for. When you start raining terror out of heaven on people's heads, that's war. You know what I mean? No matter who causes it. But it's always some stupid, idiotic thing, maybe. Or some trying to do something that can be the groundwork of a great war. When everybody gets into it. So he said, a war could be easy to start. But wars don't get stopped easy. Generally speaking, wars, big wars, they get stopped only when one side is so beat they can't get up. And the other one may be beleaguered, but they were the victors anyways. Maybe they're so tired of fighting they don't even want to fight anymore. But we think about how much of a trying time that there is, but how much even a situation like this could turn to be one. We don't know what will come out of this or anything else. It's not that I'm telling you to be scared or to be afraid. But listen, bear in your mind, this is not nothing. It's a trying situation. It's a situation, well, men feel if they don't do something now, they'll wish they had later. Well, that's all reasonings. But what I'm saying to you, our hearts should not be afraid. And we shouldn't give ourselves to fear, should we? No, I don't think we should. But there's one thing we should do, and it's even said in this verse of Scripture. Men ought to always pray and not faint. So we could think we're invincible. You know, our country is, maybe it's got more might than maybe some nations have, or maybe they're the greatest superpower in the world. Hey, that don't always set well either, you know what I mean? It gets you into more trouble. You know, it wasn't so long ago, they were bombing down there in the Gulf again, you know? And it wasn't so long before that they was at war down there. And war with Iraq. You know what I mean? There's that stepping out, you know what I mean? Hey, we don't know from one day to the next, church, one of these gets started, and somebody will not pull the trigger. Hey, I don't know how they do it. They just push the button, and suddenly there's something going out into the air, which is going to be a tiger you can't contain. And when it comes down, it can destroy a whole city. You understand that? Did you ever hear on the news, you've been listening to the news about this thing over there? Did you ever hear on the news about a whole city that was destroyed with a great atomic bomb to wipe out a whole city? Did you ever hear of a second one to follow not very long after? You never heard that kind of news, did you? Someone said, what would it be like? If you want to know what it would be like, you could still go to Japan probably and find the ruins of a lot of things. It brought cities to the ground. You know what I mean? It was just the same breed of airplanes. It was the B-29, the big bomber that came out. Still being used today. Kind of got a newer version of one or two of them. But they just went out on a bombing mission. just was sent. And they had kind of made an arrow, as to say. So they dropped one bomb, and they warned them, there will be another if you don't surrender. And they didn't surrender, and so they went back and dropped another one. And they didn't surrender there either. So they said, surrender, the next one is going to be dropped in Tokyo. Oh my. Millions and millions of people live there. At that threat, they decided maybe it's time to hang this foolish war up. But all I'm saying is that it's just a time like this. Some get started. But, hey, this may go over and they may just pass by. But could also get in another Vietnam or you get in another something else. Hey, let's not say these things are nothing. They are something. And sometimes they're the prelude to something far greater. Men's hearts failing them of fear, looking after those things coming upon the earth. Hey, I don't write things off and say it's nothing. What I'm saying is you don't know what will happen at any time when men are out there playing with their glorified war toys, you know? Oh my, what a day. What a time. So I would simply say, if you could remember back then to a day like that and think about that happened, and that was war news. And we lived, and I'm old enough to remember those things. I wasn't old enough to get into World War II, but I went in the military right after World War II. I was in the military after the World War II, and I was out before the Korean War. And nearly got drafted into that. But just the life, you know what I mean? Things, Jesus warns us, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? What will it be like? Will there be cinders everywhere? Well, I'm saying all that for our heart. What we should learn to do is what? He gave us this parable that men to this end would always know that men ought to always pray and not faint. Those things could make us faint. So you don't know either what maybe it's like when the whole world seems to be at war. I remember as a young person too, you know, we had an old battery radio, the only kind of a radio we had when we were kids. It run off a car battery, you know. But if you listen to the news on it, there was these old timers who pioneered, you know, news radio, you know, you might say. And they were reporters, and every night you could hear how many they were saying about, how many people got killed that day, how many Americans were killed, how many were wounded in action. And they were always trying to give you a report. And boy, hey, how that would tally up, and how it tallied up before that war was over to a million casualties. So we just bear that in our minds. Let's not be afraid. What should we do? We should pray. We should always pray. So when the Lord comes, what is He going to find? What is He going to find? Will any men still have faith? What will the world be like? What will it be like? So I think that all of us should consider for ourselves that we shouldn't forget to pray about troubled times. We should be concerned. A little fire can escalate into a whole forest fire. All it took was just a few people out there, mom and dad and two or three or four kids, and they built a fire. Hey, they had hot dogs, and they roasted the hot dogs, and what else there, you know? And they got ready to leave, and somebody dumped the thing out on the ground there with all the hot coals, and they got in the car and left. And a little wind gusting up, and hey, next thing you know, it sparks a fire. It really spreads. So I just said all that to you for some reason. I didn't say it to scare you. I said it that it would give you courage to know that there comes a time when you got to pray, and it's the best thing you can do. So I would say, what can you do? Well, the president said we should pray for those people that are over there in uniform. Should we pray for those people that are not in uniform over there? Who should we pray for? Who should we leave out? Who should we pray for? Who should we not pray for? Well, you don't know how to answer that question, do you? If somebody loses their life, they've lost their life. And if they weren't saved, they've really lost it, haven't they? Should they be prayed for? Well, they should be prayed for before they wind up such a fate, right? Once the tree falls, there's where it's going to lie. But we've got to bear in our mind that surely there's a lot of people always in trouble. And we know there's always going to be warmongers. Always going to be people, just warmongers. We know what that's like. See a sample of that. Well, tonight, I just felt in my heart that this passage of Scripture should have some meaning to our hearts. But in the realm of avenging, in God taking a hold to avenge us of our adversaries, who really are many times adversaries fighting against our heart and our soul, God has told us here, He would avenge them, you know, avenge us or them, who it may be, speedily. And though He would answer after a while, though God would move through the troubles after a while, yet as He would move and avenge then the saints speedily, He let us know, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. Bad times like that, huh? Well, I'm glad tonight we have promise. And the promise of being ready, the promise of watching and praying. Jesus said, watch and pray that you'd be counted worthy to escape all those things that are coming upon the earth. Watch and pray. Is that a good idea then? Watching that we'll be ready when Jesus comes, that we won't miss Him. And that we won't be caught up in troubles that we let overwhelm us. We've always got to keep our eyes on Him and look for His coming. We don't know whether it be night, morning, or noon. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we know He's coming. But let's be ready. Let's not be caught in something where we are not praying anymore, where we've given up our faith, where we've kind of hung our harps up on the willow. You know, we're not playing the songs of Zion anymore. We're out there singing with the world again. My, we're not out there singing the songs of Zion. We see backsliders, next you know, they're back out there singing with a rock and roll band or something. Hey, what's wrong? They're not praying. Hey, they gave up. They've turned around. They've pulled back. Hey, we don't want that to ever happen to us. You've got to be firm in your heart. You've got to be firm in your resolve. Therefore, it's necessary, knowing the day and the hour, and the concluding remark of the Lord in this parable here surely makes us to know we ought to always pray and not faint. So if we follow that procedure, then I believe that that's going to help us. God's going to take care for us. I believe that no matter how bad it gets in the world, God can take care of you. God can take care of you, no matter how bad or no matter how bad. No matter how troubled the world becomes. Jesus is going to come someday, on the day He's ready. But remember, the world has been plagued with many problems. You know, we think that we fought a war for 50 years. Could you imagine fighting a war for 50 years? You heard it many times. It's called a Cold War. It wasn't a hot war. It was a Cold War. Undermining, doing everything. My. We could see that going on and the end of World War II right up until... Didn't hardly break until the time that... Well, I suppose we could look back to the time. We figure 50 years ago, that wasn't very long ago, you know, when you think about it in time. But I'd have to bear in my mind that the fighting of that Cold War had men in the trenches. It had men standing face to face. It had Russians and Americans standing face to face. Hey, there's a valley over in East Germany, and these two armies were held at bay there for a long, long time. They always said World War III will start right here. Hey, those armies were looking each other in the face. And there was 50 years of Cold War. Well, I think we bear in our mind, somebody was telling this recently of visiting across Europe and making mention that of all the miles and miles and miles and miles of trenches, they're still there. Trenches of World War II. Hey, let's watch and pray. So I just leave this in our hearts tonight that we'd all take care. And I know a lot of people are worried about things. Some people are worried about what's going to happen when the computers may not all turn over. Well, I ain't going to let that bother me, you know what I mean? But it could cause problems. But I don't believe that's the end of the world, do you? No. A day may come and pass and see a little problem of video. But then we may see other problems. We see shaky worlds and we see shaky, you know, business climates and we see all those things. But listen, let us understand we're still in this world. It's a sinful world. This is not the world that we'll see in the kingdom age. Hey, this is a world that's filled with troubles, unstable, and will get worse and worse. And so, are we prepared? If you want to get prepared, there's the best way of getting prepared that I know. It's not seeing where you can get the biggest cave or where you could store tons and tons of food. It's where you know deep in your heart God said you ought to always pray and not faint. When the Lord comes, He said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? We can just picture that out in our minds. So tonight, let's keep our faith. Let's keep our hearts on Jesus. Let's not be distracted from these things. Though there may be around, though there may be saber rattling, let's be faithful. Let's trust God. Can God take you through? Can He take you through? Could the coming of Jesus then suffice to get us out of arm lengths of some conflict someday? Wouldn't it be nice to escape out of this world right ahead of all of that great mess that's coming and be caught up with Jesus in the air? Wouldn't it be nice? What an evacuation that would be. Oh, my. We'd think that He'd come and take us home. Ah, thank God. Let's keep our faith. Let's not give in. Let's not surrender up to feelings. Well, I don't know why I said all that, but maybe we need to hear that, right? Well, why don't we all stand and we'll pray. Father, we thank You tonight that we can have faith in You. We thank You, Lord, we can have trust in You. We put our hearts in You, Lord. We're thankful for what You do for us. We thank You for how You've helped us and encouraged us. But, oh, Lord, tonight we just know You're saying we ought to always pray, no matter what it's like, no matter what the season, no matter what the circumstances, good times and bad, we ought to always pray. And, Lord, we should not faint. We should not get discouraged. We should not be cast down. We should trust that, Lord, You have been strong with Your great arm to save us, and You're strong with Your great arm to keep us. And Lord, we're going to rely upon Your keeping power, to keep us in you, to keep us in the love of God, to keep us in a faithfulness to walk with you. So, Lord, we ask your blessing on our heart tonight. Help us, Lord, that we're not going to fear. We're going to trust you. You're our hope and stay. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And everybody said, Amen.